Your God, help us see this familiar gospel story in new life, like the light the prophet Isaiah spoke of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now I know I say this a lot, but there is so much going on
Naphtali. Naphtali was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, along with Reuben and Judah and Joseph and Benjamin and other of the more well-known brothers. When each son was given land, this region above the Sea of Galilee was given to Naphtali and his tribe. And his brother Zebulun's land lay just to the southwest of Naphtali's. These were war-torn lands. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, many centuries before, had written about these lands. In the former time, he wrote, God brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. The Gospel writer Matthew looks at Jesus' decision to move into Galilee, the ancient warring lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, and he remembers what Isaiah wrote. He interprets Jesus' move not as just some random choice, but as a move prophesied years before for the Jewish Messiah. Jesus is going into the ancient lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, now known as Galilee of the Gentiles, to bring light to a people who sat in darkness. And once he's there, what does he do? He proclaims, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. If those words sound familiar, it's because they were John the Baptist's identical words back in chapter 3. Somewhere along the way, we have weighted that word repent with all sorts of baggage. We think sorry, regretful, wailing, sobbing, gnashing teeth. But the most important aspect of that word repent is not necessarily all that. The most important meaning of the word repent is to turn abruptly. To abruptly change an attitude, a way of thinking, a behavior, a belief, to another way. A complete turnaround. A 180-degree turn. Caterpillar to butterfly. Turn abruptly, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Leave your cocoon, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, when John the Baptist preached that message back in chapter 3, he did link repentance to the confessing of sins. Scripture tells us that John baptized people in the Jordan River after they confessed their sins. But Jesus doesn't go into all that. All we have in the passage is this. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Turn around abruptly, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. But how would that repentance look on the ground? The number one rule for a good writer is don't tell me something, show me. So like all good writers, Matthew shows us repentance in action. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw brothers Simon Peter and Andrew fishing. Follow me, he called, and I will make you fish for people. Now I know that any time this scripture is rolled around in the lectionary, I say this, but it makes me crazy, and so I'm going to say it again. If there's ever a case of political correctness run up, it is this. Fish for people? Really? The King James and the NIV say, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. fishermen will become fishers of men. Now that's poetry. I've been criticized over the years for referring to God with masculine pronouns. Many people prefer statements like God sent God's son instead of God sent his son, or God made God's self manifest rather than God made himself manifest. And my critics are absolutely theologically correct. God has no gender. But I'll go with the cadence, with the poetry, every time. Look at how Andrew and Simon Peter responded to Jesus' invitation. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Matthew is using the call of the disciples to show what repentance looks like. Repentance looks like fishing one day and following a wandering nomadic rabbi the next. Andrew and Peter left their nets, their means of livelihood, to follow Jesus. And then, like any good writer, Matthew ups the ante. Jesus goes next to James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They are in the boat with their father, mending nets. And Jesus called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. They left their means of livelihood and their family to follow Jesus. Matthew tells the story in this sequence quite deliberately. He's building tension. He's building a case. Jesus opened his ministry in ancient lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, just as Isaiah prophesied. He opened in a land filled with darkness and shadow of death. And he opened it with a simple message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Andrew and Peter did just that, leaving their livelihood for an uncertain life on the road with this Messiah. James and John did just that, leaving their livelihood and their father for an uncertain life on the road with this Messiah. So what does repentance look like for us? It looks like changing everything for an uncertain life on the road with this Messiah. Now, depending on our past, it can also look like sorrow or regret for a life in which we knowingly have rejected God or hurt others. It can look like a confession of sins and a move to baptism with water, as John the Baptist preached. But it can also look like the repentance of Andrew and Peter, James and John. They had no evidence they were doing anything wrong or sinful before meeting Jesus. But upon meeting him, they turn to whole new lives. And that's the main ingredient of repentance. It is always, always, always going to include a turnaround in life choices. Many of you know our leading managers, David Day and Craig Timmons. In the past 14 years, they have sent 1,550 people into drug and alcohol treatment. They estimate that a third of them remain clean and sober and have embarked on new lives of recovery. That's repentance. That's turnaround. Many of you left big, comfortable churches to worship here. You are worshiping with people in a congregation that looks to you more like a messianic banquet than a typical church in Greenville, South Carolina. That's true. That's repentance. But I sense that many of you are still searching, still not sure what repentance fully looks like, but willing to explore, to see, to push your boundaries, challenge yourselves and your life. And I want you to Reverend Jonathan Jones came to Greenville and to Tryon after a career as a police officer in Kentucky and as a game warden in the Florida Everglades. He also came to us after spending a year two steps ahead of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. That's because Jonathan was a meth addict. And he knew enough about law enforcement to keep from getting arrested. He got clean in 2014, and he came to Greenville in an attempt to stay clean. After finding a worship home here, he began volunteering at our reception desk. He began teaching Bible study. But mostly, he began seeking out people whom he felt needed someone to talk to, both in and outside Tryon. He has helped countless individuals by driving them to see apartments, helping them move furniture, helping them sign up for assistance, driving them to pay bills, checking in when they were in the hospital, all the mundane stuff of life. Quietly taking on what I call the ministry of presence, the ministry of being, which is exactly what he's offering at the end of our services when he volunteers to talk and pray for anyone down here. Not unlike Andrew and Simon Peter and James and John, he left his former life to take up a new life, sharing his experience with the kingdom of God. In our lives, change rarely happens with the immediacy we see in the disciples' decision to drop their nets and take up lives as Jesus's roadies. We think and ponder and pray and we ask questions. And with no offense attended to the four fishermen, I think it's okay that we do that. In fact, that's why we are offering that class on discovering your sacred gifts that started Wednesday night. I hope it will give some of us time to think about our Christian callings in a warm and supportive community. Matthew told the story of the disciples' radical turnabout to make a point about the radical nature of Jesus' ministry, Jesus' message. Jesus did turn lives upside down and inside out. And he still does. If it's time for a change in your life, time for your caterpillar to become a butterfly, time for repentance in the truest sense of the word, you might want to start by coming down to pray at the altar or to talk to Jonathan. You can think about what it might mean to leave a dry and dusty cocoon for the possibility of living as a glorious butterfly. For one day, on the seashore of an ancient land, Jesus said, "Follow me." He says it still.